urgent at the top. I thought, oh my gosh, what's happening here? What's happening that is so urgent? And it is, in fact, newsworthy for sure. I'm not sure it's urgent, but Bud Selig, the commissioner of baseball, has announced that he is going to retire in January of 2015. The 79-year-old Selig has repeatedly said since 2003 that his retirement was imminent, but Thursday marked the first time he issued a formal statement. He says he will announce a transition plan shortly that will include a reorganization of Central Baseball Management. And before we get to our guest, Jerry Bader here from Wisconsin, by the way, and Bud Selig is a Wisconsin guy, a Milwaukee guy. He used to own the Milwaukee Brewers. I think his family still might, as a matter of fact. Let me throw this name out there. Just let me throw it out there. For the next commissioner of baseball, Kent Conrad, former United States Senator from North Dakota. Why do I say that? Because Kent Conrad's wife, Lucy Caluti, is the chief lawyer for Major League Baseball. A lawyer, lobbyist, lawyer. But there is a deep connection there between Kent Conrad and his wife and the top echelons of Major League Baseball. He's a former senator. He has some sway. She has some sway. I'm just saying. Not saying it's going to come true, but just let me throw that name out there. With that, let's go to somebody who I know would love to be the next commissioner of baseball. He is a talk show host in Wisconsin for the very highly rated WTAQ, WSAU, and WHBL. His name is Jerry Bader. He's part of the Midwest Communications family, to which I belong, and we welcome him to the Mike McFeely Show today. Hello, Commissioner. Hey, how are you?
I'm fine. Let me tell you the name you're going to hear. I'm not saying. Let's see if you can figure it out. What's going to be the trendy name you're going to hear?
I don't know.
Bob Costas.
Oh no! Really?
Yeah, you will.
We'll hear it. I'm saying, oh no, he's not going to be the next commissioner. Is my point?
Oh no, that would be ridiculous.
Yeah, no. But you're exactly right, though. They will throw his name around. They being us, I guess. The media will throw his name around. Yeah.
If George Will were 20 years younger, you'd hear his name.
Oh, but, I mean, can you be too old to be commissioner of baseball?
I don't think he'd want it.
I see.
20 years ago, he might have actually wanted it.
Either of those guys, and I don't want this to be a political thing. I disagree with George Will politically, but, I mean, no. You know, a couple of media guys being commissioner, I'm not for that.
Hey, look, I've got two words for you, dude. Matt Millen.
Touche. You know? But that's the Detroit Lions, you know? I mean, that's...
Yeah,
that's,
but you're exactly right. I mean, I know he was a football player. I know. But, I mean, beyond that, really, he was a media guy before they destroyed the Lions.
Oh, totally. How is Selig viewed in Wisconsin and in... You know, you're in Green Bay, Jerry, but, you know, I'm sure you have many connections in Milwaukee. How is Selig viewed in your state?
This is petty. He has never been forgiven for letting the All-Star game in Milwaukee end in a tie.
That's it? People are mad at him because of that?
I said it sounds petty, but I'm just telling you that's what people think of. In terms of his job as commissioner, I think, remember he was interim forever before they finally made him actual... I think he had gone a long way. He's done a lot of things where you could look at his legacy. I think his legacy now is in tatters because we have learned that he didn't clean the game up at all.
And that's where I was just going to go is when I think of Bud Selig's tenure, and he's been around a long time. You know, you're right. He was the interim guy for a long time. I think of the first wave of steroids back in the late 1990s.
Yep.
I think of all the rhetoric after that about how, you know, my God, this we're the cleanest game in the world and the yada, yada, yada. And now I think of the second wave of drugs. And that, to me, is what I'll remember Bud Selig for.
Yep, that's whether he likes it or not, that is now his legacy as MLB commish.
Is he still, he was a used car salesman or something, wasn't he, in Milwaukee? And I don't mean that to be flippant.
I mean, that's the disparaging title that many throw on him. Yeah, he was in car dealerships, no doubt, and that's how he was a local businessman. And for this, you know, you want to ask about his long-term legacy. Heck, he brought the Brewers, he brought Major League Baseball back to Milwaukee after the Braves left. So for that, he will always be looked upon I think, fondly.
Oh, goodness. Oh, yeah, and I did not realize that, being even the baseball fan I am. I guess it makes sense. He should be locally in Wisconsin remembered for that more than anything else, for bringing big league baseball back to Milwaukee. That's fantastic. Jerry, one more quick sports thing, and then we'll move on to more serious topics like Ted Cruz and green eggs and ham and all these different other topics. But Your Green Bay Packers, they're not very good. They lost another game last weekend, but I guarantee you that there are 5 million Vikings fans right now in Minnesota and North Dakota who would trade you franchises in 1.2 seconds. So I don't know what your calls have been like from your listeners this week, whether people want to jump off the Green Bay Bridge or whatever because the Packers aren't very good. Whatever you have is way better than whatever we have in Minnesota and North Dakota right now. Just let me say that.
Yeah, I can't talk a lot of smack because the Packers are struggling. Here's the one thing I'll say about the Packers. When I looked at the schedule, I hate early buys. I just hate it because you like the mid-season-ish to heal. Boy, it looks really good right now because the Packers are just there's this hamstring curse over this team right now. It seems everybody's got a hammy. Hope they get healthy. Here's what I'll say. I mean, if they can keep these guys healthy, it appears they've got three really good running backs right now, and the running game does appear to be back. Franklin soured it by fumbling late in the game, but I think they're going to get through this. I'm not predicting this. I'm saying they need to. They need to rattle off the next four games so they're 5-2 when the Bears come in on, I believe it's November 4th.
And see, just you talking about rattling off several wins in a row shows you how far ahead of the Vikings the Packers are, because the Vikings right now, people just want them to win a half right now. Just outscore the Steelers 10-7 in the first half on Sunday in London, and that'll be a victory for Vikings fans as far as they're concerned. This is a franchise in tatters right now. But what?
Yeah, no matter what happens after Sunday, they still won't have a win in America.
People are well aware. Goodness gracious, gosh almighty. It is bad. Okay, enough of the fun stuff. Let's talk some serious stuff. Let's talk about your guy, Ted Cruz, and what he did over the past couple of days. Believe it or not, I shredded him the last couple of days saying this is nothing more than grandstanding. It's nothing more than political fundraising. It was a non-filibuster that never had a chance to succeed other than raising Ted Cruz's national profile for a possible presidential run in 2016. I'm sure you disagree with that, Jerry, correct? Or am I spot on in this?
I won't say spot on, and I won't say I disagree. I'm falling in the mushy middle on this one. I will tell you, 2 days ago, I almost entirely agreed with you. Senator Ron Johnson here in Wisconsin, this is interesting. I don't know if Senator Heitkamp or if you've experienced this at all, but what a lot of the elected members of Congress in Wisconsin do, they do these town hall meetings where your phone rings, and they say you can join right now, press 1. I've never done it before. Senator Johnson had one last night, and I joined it. And a conservative listener from somewhere in Wisconsin asked him, and this is obviously someone who was right behind Ted Cruz, said, "Why? Were you on the floor of the House joining Ted Cruz? If not, why not?" Well, Senator Johnson wasn't. And what he said is he would applaud anyone who does anything to educate the public on Obamacare. And I actually wrote a piece for a website called Right Wisconsin where I said, look, I've morphed a little bit because I was probably almost as critical as you were. And I still, look, one, it wasn't a filibuster. And I'll tell you who else, and I'm rambling here a little bit. The national talk show host, Hannity, Limbaugh, Levin, calling it a filibuster. It wasn't a filibuster. It was a speech. It wasn't delaying anything. I still think it was mostly to shine the spotlight on Ted Cruz. But I think there are some things that he highlighted. Look, he ticked off Jimmy Hoffa Jr., so it wasn't a complete loss.
but I'm not sure that he educated people so much on Obamacare. I mean, the right has been trying to do that, and people like you, Jerry, have been trying to do that for the last 3 years to varying degrees of success. Most of what is passed for education on the right is really a bunch of talking points and flat-out lies. But when it comes to what Cruz did, he wasn't trying to educate. He was trying to pass this off as, I'm trying to do this, I'm trying to do... No. I mean, it was so self-serving and so self-centered and so pointless. That's the part that almost galled me more than anything else was the pointlessness of it all, that even fellow Republicans were going, you know, sit down and shut up, Ted. You're not doing us any favors here.
Yeah, well, I hope you're not membering John McCain among fellow Republicans, perhaps.
There was more than that, Jerry, and you know that. Yeah. There was more than John
McCain. I know that. No, I do. And I think some of it's excessive, and I think some of it, the support was overheated for him. I think the support the conservative talk show host nationally gave him was overheated. Where I really agree with you for the most part is the pointlessness. It really didn't accomplish anything. But be clear where I'm coming from on this. My position, and I don't know if you saw Daniel Henninger in today's Wall Street Journal, but I've been talking about it for days before he said that today. He had a piece called Let It Collapse. Let it collapse. Let it happen. Look, if you guys are right and it's great, then we will have nothing to say. If I'm right and it's going to be a disaster for America, America's going to wake up and we'll deal with it then.
But wouldn't that be your biggest fear? Wouldn't your biggest fear be, not that it collapses, because, you know, I don't know why anybody wants something to fail badly in America, but if that's the tact you guys want to take, that's fine. But wouldn't it be your biggest fear on the right that if it does work and that all of the political capital, all of the oxygen that you guys have tried to spout about Obamacare, about this is evil, death panels, it's not going to work, it's going to be the death of Western civilization. If it works, Jerry, then doesn't that damage your party and your cause for years to come? Because people are going to step back and go, good God, they lied to us. Yeah, you don't want this to work, right?
I want whatever is good for America to work. Do I think it's going to work? Absolutely not. It's going to be an unmitigated disaster. I had a doctor on my show. She went for 10 minutes today. And I, you know what? I will actually send you the podcast, Mike. She was fabulous. She disagrees with me. When I spent an hour and I took a lot of disagreement from conservative callers on this, that, hey, let it go. Let it train wreck. She said, we can't do that to America. This is going to be so bad for America, Jerry. You can't in good conscience do that.
Jerry Bader, talk show host from Wisconsin, is our guest on the Mike McFeely Show. You can listen to his program, airs in the mornings, 8:30 to 11, on jerrybadershow.com. It is 3:23 on the mighty 790 KFGO right here on the Mike McFeely Show. Jerry Bader, my colleague in Midwest Communications from Wisconsin, WTAQ in Green Bay, WSAU in Wausau, and WHBL, I believe, is your FM affiliate in Green Bay as well, Jerry. A very popular talk show host in that part of the world. And we try to get him on every week here on this program so that he and I can go back and forth a little bit. But I think about two of the last three times we've been pretty calm with each other, Jerry. So we need to kind of spice things up a little bit here. John McCain's former aide came out earlier this week, and said, you know what? I regret the whole Sarah Palin thing. I regret being a part of Sarah Palin, getting on the ticket with Senator McCain. I'm sorry that I have helped foist this freak show, quote unquote, onto the American political scene. He regrets Sarah Palin and the effect that she and the quote unquote freak show have had on this country. Do you agree with that viewpoint, Jerry, or do you defend Sarah Palin and what she's brought to the table for the Republican Party and the Tea Party movement?
Well, here's the way I look at this. That vitriol that anyone associated with the McCain campaign in 2008 towards Sarah Palin explains why it was an unmitigated disaster. Here's what I think happened. I truly believe this, that was a literal last-minute decision. I don't have any inside information on this, but I believe it was a last-minute decision, a desperation move, and I don't think John McCain knew one thing about Sarah Palin when he picked her. Sarah Palin was not ready for a national stage when she was chosen. There's no question about that. I think in many ways she has grown intellectually and philosophically in the last 5 years. I disagree with her on some things. I'm not with her as far as her support of Ted Cruz, but I think she's grown. In terms of being a freak show, I think that's harsh. I will say this. She wasn't given a chance. They resented that McCain picked her, and that entire camp said, to hell with it, and we're not going to do, we're not going to lift one finger to help her out. So I'm not, no, I'm not surprised you said that at all.
Well, but when it comes to Sarah Palin, I mean, and you touched on this some, I don't think that she's been good for the entire discourse politically in this country. And I know that people are going to say, hey, McFeely, you know, you're way to the left of her and you can't stand her because of A, B, C, and D. But I don't agree with a lot of people. I don't agree with you, Jerry, on 9 things out of 10, but you and I can have a reasonable discussion about it. We might get mad at each other like I did a couple of weeks ago. That's fine. But when it comes to what Sarah Palin and that wing of the party has brought to this country, it's gotten nasty. It's gotten mean. It's gotten, you're either with us or you're against us. And they're chewing up Republicans, Jerry. That part of the Tea Party is chewing up Republicans.
Well, here's what I will say about this. You've got, and I'll try to explain this as quickly as I can. I'm going to agree with that to a small degree. I think there is a faction of the establishment Republican Party that really is between where I would like to see the Republican Party be and the Democratic Party. I'm not going to be one of those who say it's just like the Democratic Party, but in a lot of ways, the establishment Republican Party has gotten very liberal. Here's where you're right, though. So if you don't stand with someone like Ted Cruz, if you're Senator Ron Johnson, which I think you would agree, is hardly a moderate. Where suddenly he's a rhino because he doesn't stand with Ted Cruz. Yeah, I'm going to agree with you on that. I think that's very unhealthy.
All right. Jerry, thank you. Good conversation as always. And I hope to join your program tomorrow morning. Just shoot me an email. We can figure something out, okay?
Yeah, don't hope. Just call.
Okay. All right. I'll call you at 5 after 10. We'll talk then, all right?
All right. See ya.
Yep, you bet. Jerry Bader, WSAU, WTAQ, and WHBL out of Wisconsin. It